B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Tub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cleared out for him. Tapping his way in. Spins on Gallinari. Gives it up. Oh, he was right there. And a foul as Thybul goes to the basket. Boy, Simmons, uncontested, had a layup, but he leaves it for Thybul, who makes something out of it and is headed to the line.
Well, but that's when you know that the game is in your head. That's a dunk for Ben Simmons right there.
Do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
What do you, when you say get in the gym with him, what needs to be done? I mean, obviously, this is
fraction. Yeah, I mean, that's between Ben and I.
Ooh, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Give us a call at 617-779-0985. Oh, listen, that was tough to watch, the Game 7. I'm a big Ben Simmons fan, but he has got the yips. I mean, and I hate it. I hate it in any sport.
The moment's too big for him. It's like he can't. He's afraid to be the guy that blows it. You saw it not only there, but just in the fourth quarter, where what, five out of the seven games in the fourth quarter, he didn't even make a field goal attempt, and in the other ones, it was like one and I think two in the third game. And
it's crazy because you have a guy who's the best defensive player in the league, and he is. I mean, he's I know he's not a center, but he's better than Gobert. I mean, he can do more.
He's top three. If you even have an argument, he's top three. Ben Simmons is elite. He's unbelievable defensively.
So basically, the way I've always looked at it is, if you're a basketball coach and you go, I'm going to give you an elite athlete who's 6'10", 6'11", can handle the basketball, can see the court, and can defend anyone on the floor. He can defend a center, an elite center. He can defend an elite point guard, as you saw.
All he had to do was watch 5 seconds of the Atlanta series. He was guarding Trae Young, who is 10 inches shorter than him,
which no one else in the NBA can do. So all he really has to, and then people go, "We can't shoot," and I go, "I don't care that he can't shoot because just dunk." But
well, it's not that easy, apparently, for Ben Simmons to just dunk.
I saw the play where he gave it up, and believe me, I heard from the audience, "Oh, you don't know anything about basketball, Ben Simmons." No. If you asked any basketball coach, they'd wet their pants to have Ben Simmons on their team. But
how many more times? This is a good question, though, about whether or not you are who you are or you just need to be in a different environment with a different coach. How many more times do we need to see Ben Simmons do this until we figure out this is just who he is and he can't be fixed?
There is.
Because we were talking yesterday about whether or not, like, if you were the Celtics, you would want to try to make a trade for a guy like Ben Simmons, where he's owed, what, three more years of max money? Four more years of max money.
He's 1 year into a five-year, $177 million contract.
But let me explain. Is that he's never going to be a jump shooter. He's never going to be able to shoot threes. However, you have to imagine that they can. This is a mental thing. It's completely mental. It has nothing to do with physical, and you can fix mental stuff.
Can you always, though?
But on this Celtics team, you have two scorers who demand the basketball. You have a guy who is Marcus Smart without the bad shots, and a thousand times better defender than Marcus Smart. He can do anything.
You're talking about Ben Simmons. Yeah.
Ben Simmons. And that if I was the Celtics and I wanted to win quick, and I think I can get Ben Simmons in terms of what I would have the compensation for him, not financially, but if I could get him for what I have now, Like, if I could package, like, you know, Marcus Smart and some other crap and get Ben Simmons in return, I'd do it in 5 seconds.
But you're locked into the guy for 4 years.
But I think that you're a threat in the East.
But you also, that's your team. That is your team for the rest of the duration of the contract with Jason Tatum.
I think that that team eventually could win a championship.
I disagree.
Okay, because, all right, let's do this. All right, so if say New Jersey doesn't implode, I think they will, but say New Jersey stays with what they have for another year. I can guard Durant as best as he's going to be guarded. I mean, Durant probably goes for 30 instead of 45. So I have a guy who can take Durant, and then I have two guys that can score like Irving and Harden. So and Brown's a very good defensive player too. So I like Brown on Harden, and so I think if you get Ben, but I really like him, and I believe that you can fix him mentally.
See, I thought about this yesterday because at first I was on board, but then, you know, Jared Weiss had that article, and the one thing that was the biggest problem that they seemed to have with this team was that lack of any kind of pride when Kyrie Irving stepped on the logo. They didn't play with any passion, and right now it seems like Ben Simmons is the exact opposite of the kind of attitude you want on this team.
But it's not an attitude problem. It's a mental block. Do you think that's how he wanted it to go down?
Here's also why I think he would be a negative impact for this team and the culture as well. How often do you ever hear Doc Rivers crap on a guy? Ever. And he did in that post-game press conference.
That's also coming off of a Game 7 again that he lost.
But even in Game 7s, you don't hear that often. On top of that, Joel Embiid came out and crapped on his own teammate.
Well, him and Joel Embiid shouldn't be on the same team because Embiid's an elite defender and a big guy. And
Who has a motor problem, who also tends to run out of gas at the end of games.
And he scores in the same way, he's a better three-point shooter, but he scores in the same way that Ben Simmons is supposed to score.
But one, I think, is physical and one is mental as far as wearing out in the fourth quarter. Not like disappearing in the fourth quarter.
All I know is this, is that Ben Simmons isn't stomping his feet and going, well, I don't want to play in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons has got, if you gave him one wish right now, it would be to fix his mental problem.
Sure. But it's a problem.
Yes.
And he's not liked by his teammates and his coach. That's my bigger problem with fixing the culture of the Celtics.
He's certainly not liked after he blew Game 7 for him. Of course not.
Yeah, but still, even when a guy blows Game 7, do you ever hear him called out like that by both the coach and the star player? There's something deep-seated and brewing in all of that.
Well, Rich, let's not point to Doc Rivers as being the beacon of great coaching in Game 7s and how to handle the aftermath of them.
I'd say he's the opposite of that.
So Doc crapping on Ben Simmons is not something that I... And same with Embiid. I mean, Embiid calls everyone but himself out. Listen, there's no question. He was terrible. He was terrible, and it was embarrassing and kind of cringy to watch, but he can do things, and you have to understand, he can do things no one else in the NBA can do yesterday.
He can do a lot of things a lot of people can't do. Obviously, a 6'10 guy that can guard all five positions and handle the basketball, and is a triple-double threat when he goes out there, but this last playoff series against Atlanta, and you remember I was in your corner a couple of weeks ago. The last couple of weeks against Atlanta has been eye-opening for me. He has a fourth quarter problem, and the reason he works for Philadelphia is because they surrounded him and Embiid with a bunch of really good shooters.
Right.
I mean, Seth Curry is one of the best three-point shooters in the league.
He is.
Danny Green, a proven winner, by the way, another very good playoff performer. Embiid's 38% or better. Tobias Harris
is a piece of crap.
But he can shoot the ball from the outside take the pressure off of Simmons to have to do that.
Tobias Harris is a bigger problem than Ben Simmons on that team.
I'll throw out him, but you have three or four other guys that are 38% or better from three.
Yes.
Celtics don't have that type of roster.
All right, yeah, but my point would be with this. And listen,
it's not a highly controversial point.
I don't want Simmons anywhere near this team.
I think attitude-wise, culture-wise, he's not what you want on this team.
My point would be that obviously if you bring Simmons in and just keep, but I believe with Simmons, you have your three guys. And that then you have to be clever and you have to do the right things and get the right people in place around them. But I think that Ben Simmons, what was the problem with Marcus Smart? What's all the talk with the problem with Marcus Smart with these guys? Is that,
his biggest weakness is that he cares too much.
Shot selection.
You're not going to have that problem with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is he's a pass.
He selects not to take shots in the fourth quarter.
Again, what am I going to argue that?
You need point guards. I know where you're going. You need point guards that are distributors but can also shoot the basketball.
Okay, so, but the Celtics could bring in a Lonzo Ball, and then people would go, okay, that kind of makes sense.
But what if
I said to you, well, okay, Lonzo Ball is not a great shooter.
But actually, this last year, he was a good shooter.
He was better than he has.
38-39% from three.
Fine. But he still takes three. What if I told you that, okay, I can get you a pass first point guard. Oh, but by the way, you know, all the Adebayos and these guys of the world, don't worry about them anymore because he's gonna check them. They're done. You're not gonna have to worry about them.
If he's one of your three major offensive weapons,
no, but
I
he
think
wouldn't
that's
be.
A problem.
But he wouldn't be. You would have your two scorers. Mm-hmm. Then you can keep Brown and Tatum. Then you have a guy that is solely distributing. This is what I am saying is not going to be popular with the audience. What I'm saying is in all of you make very valid points. Is it guaranteed to work? No question, no. But I think the quickest way, I think you can win the East if you bring Ben Simmons in and you just get him to not be afraid to dunk.
Or not be afraid to take shots.
In the fourth quarter of a playoff game, dunk.
Anything.
I think though the main thing from this weekend that I think a lot of people need to take and learn from is that there was a lot of spike in the football with the 76ers and the Nets. Look at how these teams did it, and look at this. Look at they built the team the right way, and now look at how much better than the Celtics they are. And look at these two teams. They haven't won jack. The Sixers have had some of that same crew for the longest time, and everyone's been pointing at them at how to do it. This was the year. Look at how great that they were during the regular season. They bring in Doc Rivers, and tons of people were spiking the football. Same thing with the Nets. Now, Durant's first year was this year, but you had Kyrie Irving last year as well, and you're 2 years in, and you've still, even if you're injured, you've got three of the best players on the planet. There is room for injury.
That leads to my point, though, in that.
You got to sit back and see how teams do when it matters the most.
Okay, then I think that adds to the Simmons argument. Dave, go ahead.
Fred, I actually agree with you, and one of the things I think is, and I realize that on 98.5, if you say anything good about any Celtics rookie or branded a green teamer, but guys like Pritchett and Nesmith can shoot. And when you talked about surrounding Ben Simmons with shooters, those are a couple guys that I don't know if either one of them will be an all-star, but I think they can be that Seth Curry knockdown shooter that Simmons can distribute
Nesmith can shoot because that's the only reason they draft him.
If you brought in Ben Simmons and he was the same player as far as statistics and how he played, but didn't have that stigma with him where the players, the coach doesn't like him, his teammates don't seem to like him, and he freezes up in the fourth, then I would say, great, Fred, it's awesome. As a matter of fact, it'd be mathematics. It would be a perfect fit. But this is the exact opposite of the type of personality you want on this team right now. But they have a massive malaise on this team.
But do we
Nobody
know there's
cares
a pers-
enough to win?
Do we know there's a personality problem?
Yeah, his teammates don't like him. His coach doesn't like him. I'd say that's a big deal.
You're referring to after the game seven, though.
Oh, but you don't. Your coach doesn't call out a player like that the way that he did, and your teammate doesn't call out a player
Joel
the way
Embiid
that he did.
Directly called him out.
Yes,
afterwards.
because he was the reason they lost game seven.
The clip that Rich played about Doc Rivers, they asked him if he could be the point guard of the future. And instead of saying yes, it was like, well, I don't know the answer to that. And this is after he's been with him a full season and posted the best record in the Eastern Conference with him.
That's not what you say if you truly believe this guy.
That's absolutely correct.
I think you're catching these guys at the absolute worst moment. And fine, then if Doc can't work with him, get a coach in here that can.
They're tied down to Simmons for so long, they may have to do that.
I have heard nothing about Ben Simmons being a locker room problem. Maybe I missed it,
All I'm hearing is what they're saying.
But that's after a Game 7. Come on.
But it's different. Because even after Game 7s, how often do you hear
The most important thing is Simmons and Embiid have not gotten along for a while.
That's the most important.
But that's
an
Embiid
problem. They've been oil and water since day one.
How do you know it's an Embiid problem? It's a problem that's been reported. Because Embiid's not going anywhere. So they have to move him, which
is why my whole point is I would take him if I was the Celtics. All right, very quickly. Sage, go ahead.
Fred, I got your back here. You're 100% right. Doc and Embiid, they were asked those questions at the worst possible time, and they were sore, you know, from the loss, and they threw the most obvious scapegoat under the bus, but I think Simmons is the Taylor Hall for the Celtics. His ego has been squashed into the ground. He's super talented, and he can't be a leader of the team, so he's not a threat to Brown or Tatum. And he's supremely talented, and if we can just mold him into the right fit for the team, I mean, That series could not have ended better for the Celtics.
I think it's a great opportunity for the Celtics. If you could get him on the cheap, and I know not cheap financially, if you could get him on the cheap in terms of what you'd have to send. It doesn't work, though, because I guess you would have to send Horford, and you're not going to do that.
It's the Kardashian curse. I've been saying it. Yeah. We got it with Tristan Thompson this year.
Thompson and Smart.
But he was with the normal one.
Thompson and Smart get you kind of close. Thompson, Smart, and somebody else will match salaries up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think that I love Simmons and I know what he did, but but he's just a unicorn. He's so freakish. I've never seen anyone like him. All right, we'll get Jay King's opinion. We can talk to him coming up. He'll definitely say no, but we'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Come.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Interesting non-committal answer by Doc Rivers to that.
No,
you don't think that's an interesting answer?
No, because I've told you on this show 100 times, Ben Simmons can be an all-star, but that's all he can be until he learned how to shoot.
No, that wasn't the question.
Yeah, but listen, that's the answer to the question. If a guy is my second best player can't shoot, I can't go to him with the game on the line. I don't even have him in the game. He didn't want to throw the kid on the bus. He said, it doesn't matter. We sit here. We're basketball guys. We know basketball. You can't have a guy on the court who's afraid to shoot the basketball.
Did you hear Shaq after that? Shaq just having words come out of his mouth. He goes, if I was in the locker room, I would have knocked him out. Like, would have physically assaulted him.
Yeah, of course you would have. Like when they played the Pistons and lost in five with Kobe and Shaq. A Pistons team led by the likes of Tayshaun Prince and Chauncey Billups. They lost in five to that Pistons team. And I believe they had home court in that series as well.
I remember.
But, Shaq is one without any playoff disappointments. And Shaq played in the era where, like, oh, we just can't stop him.
Okay. Basically. Yeah.
All right. Jay King covers the Celtics for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Jay King.
How are you, guys?
All right. Would you, if you're the Celtics, I'll ask you this. Is Ben Simmons, is he ruined? Is what you saw in that Atlanta series what he is going to be?
I don't know if he's ruined, but the troubling part of it all is that his offensive game hasn't expanded since his rookie year. If anything, his ability to shoot, willingness to shoot, has just gotten worse. What he did in the fourth quarter was was stunning in that series. The when he passed out of the open dunk with only Trae Young at the rim, it's like, what are you even doing on the court if you're going
to
do that?
Yeah, he was afraid, it seemed, to get fouled. Like, he was petrified at shooting free throws at that point. All right, that being said, I don't know how they do it, but if I know financially it's a lot, but if you could acquire, if you're the Celtics and you could acquire Ben Simmons, giving up less than you would thought you would have to because he's damaged goods, does Ben Simmons fit on this team?
I mean, I think if you could figure out a way to do it financially while keeping your best players, then yeah, he's a guy you'd have to look into. He's close to being the defensive player of the year. He's an extremely good passer. He's young. It's whatever you say about what happened in the playoffs this season. Like, he's been very good over the course of his career. He's a three-time All-Star. I don't think it's very feasible. I think it's very, very difficult to build the right type of roster around him. But I think if you do have that right type of roster, he's got so many skills to help your team. Obviously, he needs something mentally to be more willing to shoot and stuff like that. But I think he's the right type of talent to take a chance on. But not everybody thinks like I do, because there are a lot of people around the NBA who really, really doubt that guy right now.
I just think, Jay, that after everything that came out, especially from one of your colleagues' articles, you know, Jared Weiss, we've been talking about the stuff with Kemba Walker and how, you know, the people within the organization were ticked off that the team didn't have any kind of edge after Kyrie Irving stepped on the logo, that they're trying to, you know, bring that back to the team. He just seems like the opposite of the attitude of what they're trying to instill right now. Like, they don't want somebody who seems to isn't liked by the other players on his team or isn't liked by his coach, like with Doc Rivers, or just doesn't rise to the occasion. Doesn't that seem to be the almost like the opposite personality of what the Celtics need right now?
You know, I think they just need talent. Honestly, I think their biggest issue this past season was they were injured and they weren't good enough to begin with. And so it doesn't really matter what type of personalities you bring into me. I think the biggest thing is you need to bring talent around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You need to bring in more size. You need to bring in more defense. And I think Ben Simmons would give you both of those things. Again, I don't think that's going to be an option for them. I don't think they'll end up with Ben Simmons on their team. But if you could add a 6'10 guy who's one of the five or six best defenders in the league, like that could be pretty helpful. And so you think about toughness, like the guy defends every possession. He defends every position. And so I think, you know, there are different definitions of toughness and basketball. Like to me, if you played defense every possession, and Ben Simmons does, to his credit, like, the guy's become one of the best defenders in the league, and I think that's pretty important.
Well I happen to agree with you, Jay, and so you're saying it would be very difficult to do. First, do you think Philly is desperate to dump him, and that might affect what they take back? And Is there a package, not moving Brown or Tatum, is there a package that the Celtics, if you had to get creative, you think that they could entice that to occur?
I don't see it happening. It's just, he makes so much money that it would be tough to make the salaries match. And I just don't see Ben Simmons being an option for the Celtics.
Okay, so now that you've got this move where Kemba's gone and you're bringing in Al Horford, what do you see being the next moves to be made? I mean, I got to think the future isn't very bright here for Tristan Thompson, seeing that you brought in Al Horford. What are you seeing the next moves being by Brad Stevens?
Yeah, Tristan Thompson's future is interesting, obviously, because they do have Al and they do have Robert Williams. But I think it's probably important to keep in mind that both those guys will probably miss time next year. Al Horford's 35. He's been pretty durable, but at some point, you know, he's gonna miss time this coming season. Robert Williams, he's never played more than 52 games in a regular season. So to having a pretty good third center would be helpful. Now paying that much money to a backup center, a third string center, I don't know if they'll want to do that. But so, yeah, they definitely have to make decisions in the front court. I think they would like to get a more flexible power forward, like a 6'9", 6'10", guy to move Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown down a position. I think, you know, after moving Kemba Walker, what, do they want to go out and get a ball handler with the taxpayer mid-level exception? They'll have an option to do that, even if they want to start Marcus Smart at point guard. Marcus Smart is entering, you know, the last year of his contract. Are they going to extend him? Are they going to keep him around? Are they going to look to shop him before he becomes a free agent 1 year from now? Brad Stevens has a lot of decisions. I think the only thing we really know about him is that he wants to maximize Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and build a roster to do that. So I think every decision he makes from here on out will be to that end.
All right, Jay, what's the latest on the head coaching search? Obviously, you look at the guys that were invited back for a second interview. It seems like the Celtics are leaning towards the next head coach to be both young and African-American. And given that, how much input do you think Jason Tatum will have on the next head guy?
Yeah, I think, you know, after the season ended, he kind of said, I'm not in the front office. Those decisions aren't really mine. He's not one of these guys who wants to be super involved in every decision the organization makes. That said, I've heard that Brad Stevens is going to talk to those guys and consult those guys, meaning Tatum, Brown, maybe some other core pieces, and keep them in the loop. And whoever they hire, like, those guys will be on with it. So I think it's important to the organization, obviously, to keep Jason Tatum happy and finding somebody that not only will connect with him personally, but will push him to a new level as a player. Like, that's going to be one of the most important parts of the job. If Tatum becomes one of the top five players in the NBA, the Celtics are going to be a very, very good team. And so that's what the new coach is going to be tasked with. Bringing Tatum to a new level is going to be a huge, huge piece of that.
Well, who's pissed at Marcus Smart? Who's left on this team? Because that article was talking about how, you know, Kemba Walker was obviously jealous that, or it sounded like that Brad Stevens was favoring Marcus Smart, and you've even seen Jaylen Brown. I forget how long ago this was, but Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart have gotten on each other's faces a couple times. Like, I mean, is this a thing with the players that are left, and is it something that we're going to have to keep an eye on?
No, look, Marcus Smart is a very competitive guy. He's a guy that when the Celtics lose, he's not going to be happy. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like to me, the Celtics,
it's what they need. They need that more than anything right now.
Yeah, they need, honestly, they need more guys who are going to care like that and have that level of competitive drive and have that kind of maniacal desire to win and win every single night. And so to me, like, they need more guys like Marcus Smart. They need to target guys with attitude. They need to target guys who are defenders. They need to target guys who aren't going to back down from anything. And I mean, obviously they don't have to get in fights every night, but I think there is something to the fact that, like, they didn't really have any beef with any team last year at all. Mm-hmm. There's got to be more competitiveness.
There wasn't a team that ever saw them getting in, like, under the skin of that. I mean, I just think about all the dumb people Jay Crowder got in fights with. You know what I mean? It's like a Jay Crowder of all people, but Jay Crowder,
Jay Crowder's the starting forward for Phoenix.
Yeah, he finds himself on teams that seem to do okay.
Well, yeah, because he takes some semblance of pride in his organization and he does for a living.
Yeah. And you're right. Boy, it's a great point. Not at one point at all during this entire season did I even see a moment where, like, oh, man, there might even be like a little dust up here. Not even anything close to that.
Oh, stupid. Nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. So they need a spine.
You don't need guys swinging on opponents every night, but pissing them off would be nice.
A nice hard foul every once in a while.
Gee,
right.
What I said is after they stomped on Kyrie, stomped on the logo, whatever, but it obviously meant enough to Kyrie to do it, is that, like, you watch that game five and it's like you're going to just let him come in the lane and just, hi, Kyrie. Like, you know, like, I'm not naive enough to think, right, like, you're going to throw a punch at the guy. But, I mean, it might be nice.
Hard foul, man.
If you bodied him, if you got a flagrant, I mean, something. But not
ran your
nothing.
Mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, said something. Gave him some choice words. Yeah, there was nothing there. But, Jay, it's obvious, what the problem was. And Is that a problem with basketball in the NBA in general? Because it does seem like the...
But, Fred, look at the teams that are left.
Let me say
this.
They got
attitude.
Let me say this, though. Yeah. But that there is an elite, like the very elite that run the league, are more interested in impressing the rest of the elites in running the league, as we've heard people say, than they
LeBron
are.
LeBron is not like that.
All right. Whatever.
But you're right. The second tier, the Kyries, yeah, I agree.
It doesn't change what I'm saying. But the top 15 guys are more interested in impressing the other top 15 guys and, quote-unquote, making their own decisions and running the league. Is that a problem that you're seeing?
I mean, I don't know if that's a problem. Obviously, players have taken more control of their decisions, and I think in a lot of ways that's a good thing. Like players should be in control of where they play. I think sometimes that's gotten out of control, and you know, players forcing their way to a certain team with 2 or 3 years left on that contract, like that stuff gets old. But I don't think like there's a lack of competitiveness is a league-wide issue. Like, these guys are competitive. These guys are good. I think the league is in a great, great place with a lot of young talent. We're seeing young stars be made in this playoffs, and I think whether it's Tatum, Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, Trae Young, like, there are a lot of young, talented, tough guys out there.
Well, you know what I say, Jay, and I didn't make it up, is that you get rid of these the Supermax. You let teams pay guys whatever the hell they want. You keep the cap, but you let teams pay whatever the hell they want to for
make
stars.
Make it a hard cap, too.
Yeah, you want to get rid of super teams, you make a hard cap and get rid of that Supermax and get rid of those every little
mid-level exceptions.
Mid-level exception.
Yeah. LeBron have made, man.
Oh, I mean, LeBron would have made, what, like 50% of the cap?
Yeah, and LeBron probably would have been willing at this point in his career to take less money, but you want to see, let's see how much Durant and Kyrie want to play together when one's making $50 million less than the other, so that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. I like that idea.
All right, thank you. All right, I didn't make it up, but Jay King, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, see you, man.
Take care.
Appreciate it. You want to? What do you want to do when we come back? You want to do the?
Yeah, there's people losing their minds in Philly if you want to do that.
All right, we can keep this conversation going. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Home.
We're Toucher and Rich. So whether you think Ben Simmons belongs on the Celtics or not, I do. The other guys don't. There's one thing that's for sure is that he is not loved in Philadelphia.
No, they have been the biggest sports tease for the longest time. They all were patient. They all trust the process. And just like I was saying before, for the last couple of years, they have been spiking the football before winning anything. And they thought that this was going to be the year. They were obviously the top of the East. This almost the entirety, right, John? Almost the entirety of the season?
Yes. They were the best team easily in the Eastern Conference for a good 9/10 of the season.
So you've got all of these. And by the way, the faces at the end of Game 7 in the stands were just wonderful. Man. I mean, you. If you're someone who just loves grief and depression shots and hands on the head with the mouth wide open, I always think of when the Celtics. It was when the lottery, the balls were bouncing everywhere, and they ended up getting the 5th pick that one year. It was the year of
That was when they took Jeff Green. That was the Odin Durant year.
Yeah, it was Odin Durant, right. And it's got the one guy, the famous shot in the bar.
Yeah.
The guy had a Celtics Greg Oden jersey made.
Yeah.
And he had his hand in his hands going,
Yep, and then we wound up taking Jeff Green.
Jeff Green, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Rich and I were at the Garden that night.
Oh, yeah?
Were we at the Garden?
I was.
They
made me go to some draft spectacular at the Garden that evening.
I think I was, and they were showing, like, on the screens all that stuff. But, I mean, when he had his, it's It was wonderful.
Just real quick, sorry, John. You made it sound as though they got Jeff Green. Yeah, Jeff Green got you Ray Allen.
Yeah, right? I know. But
got you a championship. I don't know about Greg Oden and how many championships he got.
How many seasons he played?
Yeah, no, it's more a Jeff Green thing with me than what Jeff Green got you. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it.
He got you a whole hell of a lot.
If you want to lose out on a lottery, you lost out on Tim Duncan. That's what you lost out on.
Yeah, I had my Joe Murray moment. I had Georgetown winning the national championship that year. And Jeff Green in the Elite Eight went like 0 for $1 million from the floor and cost me a lot of money.
You know what you guys should do is be a Jet fan and have no lottery and have Peyton Manning opt to play his senior year at Tennessee than suit up in the green and white.
That's right. Well, you saw this yesterday or the day before yesterday where Philadelphia just crumbled. And what another colossal collapse by Doc Rivers. That's who you are now. You got enough evidence. That's who you are. You will always wilt now in the postseason, and you will always choke. He is as big of a choker in the NBA as there's ever been. As a matter of fact, I think that he has lost more clinching games as a coach in NBA history than any other coach. But to think that maybe the fans of Boston or Philadelphia sports might have counted their chickens before they hatched might be an understatement. Here is, let's go to Philadelphia Sports Radio and see how they are reacting to things.
Absolutely pathetic. And then his body language, everything, slumping in the chair. Can you give off a worse body language to a team that already lacks confidence? You're the coach. There's a reason why Pat Riley is cool and Phil Jackson sits there in a stoic manner.
Phil Jackson's cool.
He's super cool.
Pat Riley's cool.
Because you don't want your players to see you with a loser's face. What is that? What was his plan? You can't design one play? Not one freaking play? Yo, dude. You've been in this league for 100 years. You can't design anything. You can't draw up a stick figure to get a bucket when you need one. And last night he defended it. Well, last year they got swept in the bubble. Your ass! Everything, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be embarrassed. You shouldn't defend what you didn't accomplish anything except failure. The gutless basketball that I saw last night. Pathetic. Shrinking in the moment. I have never seen anything like that in that kind of game. Never. Ben Simmons costing the series. That's it. You're right. That's it. You want to talk about shrinking violet. The oil painting that was him at the freaking rim. In the waning moments of that game. At the rim. Nobody around. And he passed the ball. I apologize. I apologize to every one of you guys that I've ever, ever debated and defended him. Because how can you pass the ball when you're at the rim? You're 6'11", for Christ's sakes. Dunk the ball in that moment. How in the world can you do that?
Is that Philadelphia Maz? Is that Mazadelphia?
Sounds
right there?
Like it, actually. It's pretty close. He doesn't quite reach air raid siren, but he's pretty close.
That's Philadelphia Maz.
Yes. Man. Yes, indeed.
Is that the guy from 3-6 or 2-6?
Anthony Garano. Garano is his name. And he has a sign behind him that says, Cousin Chunis.
All right.
Which is not quite as ridiculous as Toucher and Rich, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be joined by Will Brinson coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. So yesterday, I am taking the children to the pool, and I turn on Felger and Maz, and it sounds like Felger's just doing your normal commercial read. Mm-hmm. But you know, the companies want you to improv. They don't want it just straight off the page sometimes. Sometimes they want you to, you know, that's why it's so valuable. I contend a personal endorsement from a radio personality is the best endorsement there is. In fact, because over the course of, 40 hours a week, or 20 hours a week, you feel like you know the person. They often talk about their lives and things of that nature. And
you can look at also the track record of how well ads do when they are personalized. They usually do even better.
Yep. And so here is Michael Felger. He's doing a little improvisation here, and here's what he had to say.
In sports, making moves are tough decisions. When moving your home or business, the decision is simple. Go with my mover, DN Van Lines. And it's not just mine. Beetle, Ted Johnson, Arcand, Mark Jamelli there in the morning. Like, there's just a ton of guys here Nick Jamelli. Just a ton of guys here on the Sports Hub.
Oh.
And you know what's funny?
His name is Mark Jamelli.
I heard that, and it didn't even register that he said the wrong name. I swear in a stack of Bibles that I heard that, and it did not register that he said the wrong name.
Okay. Nick, did that, like, hurt you when you heard that? I mean, because there's nothing Nick hates more than when someone gives his dad more star power than he has. Did that hurt? Yeah, it did.
And I
sleep on a recliner.
And I am under the impression that Felger probably doesn't listen to the show that much. I mean, he doesn't strike me as someone who would necessarily enjoy the show. And also, you know, his hours are, he works late and he's probably, you know, getting his kids ready for school or whatever he does in the morning.
My name's Mark.
But even in the limited amount of time that he listens to our show,
he knows that Mark Jamelli's the star.
Yeah. He's like, you didn't have to move me nowhere. Just my idiot son. Now, is your dad coming to your bachelor party?
Oh, he's not going to go now. Okay. Because I know he wanted to go.
Because he wanted to go. And in Nick's friends, if you don't know, Nick is having a extravaganza like you would not believe. He and his buddies just took out a map and they said where to go and get debauched. And that place is Denver, Colorado.
Sin City of Denver.
That's right. Right there in the middle of the country. And his father wanted to go, and his friends want his father to go, but Nick says no. Yes.
So there also is the rumor going around that there will be a localized version. So there's not enough of just going to the wedding and spending all your money to get there and staying there. There'll be a localized version of a bachelor party for those who are not traveling. And
If you're not good enough friends,
there might be a save the date card for people here.
Okay,
ooh,
so the
what are we doing here? Lin City of Sin? Is that where we're going?
It's the St. Anthony's Feast, Rich. We're all just going to meet outside of Mark's house.
We're going to East Lyme, Connecticut. So that is an interesting idea. He goes, let's have a bachelor party for my good friends in Denver, and then for all the people...
For the trash.
The leftovers.
Yeah, that I don't think enough of to invite to my real bachelor party.
It's more for the people at the Sports Hub. So this is going
to
be...
Why do you feel the need to do that, though?
It was Joe Murray's idea. He's like, hey, we should get everybody together for a local bachelor party.
So you should be the guy that gets two bachelor parties because you're so special?
I don't know. It wasn't my idea.
Did you invite Joe to your bachelor party?
To the other one?
The other one. No,
Joe just wants to go to a bachelor party.
I think it's just an excuse for everybody. It's been so long to, you know...
Where are we going?
We're going to... I think there's a brewery and then Encore.
Well, you know how you don't know that, Ridge, is because you haven't been invited.
I haven't. Nobody is anybody invited, or have I been left out?
It's been a few days. Well, I don't even know if the email got sent out yet.
You guys, I'll tell you what, you love.
Email has been sent out?
No.
Okay.
You love to see how beer is made, and it varies so much from brewery to brewery. It's just like visiting a winery. It's just like visiting a winery when there's, you know, the ground and the way that the climate is.
So who's setting it up for you?
Joe Murray.
Joe Murray's the one setting it up.
And you and Joe Murray have spent personal time together how many times?
I mean, I don't know, like a handful of times.
Yeah, so that's the kind of guy. Okay.
The morning show Christmas matter? Party that we had a couple of years ago.
They
to be helped out.
They've hung out once.
So, again, don't we... We work together. We don't hang out together. Yesterday was a great day. I enjoyed spending all that time with you guys. We golfed. We don't hang out together. So now Joe is thinking that we should hang out more.
Well, I just don't
know
why.
Mind that. It's just the fact that he just kind of said, you're having another bachelor. So I take it this is going to end up at Kowloon, right? I
mean, No. It will not.
No, it's going to a stupid brewery.
If Joe Murray's in charge.
Encore.
All right.
He would. Okay. All right.
I'm in. I wouldn't miss it.
You guys are invited.
If I'm invited, I'm in.
Well, this is such a half-ass invitation, Rich. You basically just
pretty much
wiggled your way in.
So if you weren't invited, what is you are now.
What is the appeal of a brewery, in all honesty?
I mean, I don't know. I enjoy going to it.
Okay, what I'm asking you. What is the appeal of it?
I like beer, and I like this type of beer. And
okay,
like,
I know. But you can drink the beer anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's the environment. Like if they have like a nice like beer hall, like down by the seaport, there's the what's it called? The Cisco Brewery. That's a great environment. They got bands. They've got food.
Okay. Well, what you just told me is that it's a great bar.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. So that I understand.
Yeah.
But you are going to Denver to go to breweries. What is it about the process of making beer that you find so fascinating?
Well, we're not going on a tour or anything like that, but God. I enjoy going to this brewery. I like
This one in Boston, fine.
Okay.
But you like going to breweries. What about breweries do you enjoy so much? Rich, am I being a dick?
I would like to know if it's not about the bar scene part of it, because that's the part I like. Like,
sure.
I go to a brewery if it's a great environment.
Fair enough.
A good place like that.
Right. If it's not a hole in the wall, this place that we're going to, I like going there.
I didn't ask that. I you said part of the allure of Denver is going to the breweries. I would imagine you don't know much about these breweries, but you know about the beer they make. What about the process of making beer do you find so
fascinating? I've gone to one tour to learn how they made the beer.
Okay, so would you go to
it's more about the environment than actually, you know, learning the process of, you know, of brewing beer.
Zolak is pissed. He said no invite. Shocker.
Yeah, he's not
happy.
Well,
he's not going to go. He wouldn't go anyway.
That's a good point.
Invite him just so he has to say no.
No, he is invited.
Do it. Invite him because he won't go.
You're having way too many things, Nick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.